This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That's 603-283-6160. Still to come, we're going to talk about the latest tyranny moves in the so-called free state of Florida. Joining you in the studio tonight is Ian.
And it's Bonnie.
And Aria.
But we were discussing in the last hour a letter or an email from Jet, who is a regular caller to the show, somewhat regular. He's a Christian guy, and he was being critical of the two of you for being critical of Christianity, it sounded like. But we're going to let him speak to it directly because he is on the line right now. Jet is with us calling from, I think you said, Illinois tonight.
Roll out the barrel. Okay. We're all monkeys on this bus. Just want to let you know. It was a term of endearment more than anything. But anyway, yes, so what would you like to know?
Well, you're calling in. Presumably you had something to say in addition to what was already said in the letter.
Oh, I have all kinds of things. You know, my basic position is these people with titles are actually satanic, evil people. They're we refer to them as government, but they're just other human beings who have no right to do anything. And I believe through research, logic, and application that I can show that Christianity is a faith of freedom and liberty. As a matter of fact,
right off the bat, I have to point out that, you know, you call these rulers Satanists. None of them worship Satan. In fact, every one of them purports to be a Christian. Every single elected ruler. You cannot run for
president. There's a couple Muslims in there and probably some other.
Definitely every single president.
Yeah, you cannot run for presidency, and you probably won't make it as a senator. You can probably become a House representative.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the fact that only about 8% of those people who attend church and call themselves Christians actually know who Jesus is or has any relationship with him whatsoever.
Is that a number that you get from your own personal experience meeting and talking to Christians, or has there been an actual study done of purported Christians and what they believe about Jesus?
It's a combination.
In what way?
I've traveled the country.
Don't move on yet. In what way is it?
No.
I think he's explaining.
I'm explaining.
So it's personal experience. Yeah. There's no study.
I've talked to pastors. I've been in congregations. I've been in numerous Bible studies, of which, in some cases, I've been kicked out of. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that you can call yourself a golfer, but if you don't ever go golfing, I mean, are you a golfer? So we got to really watch it with this term we call Christians, because many people call themselves like that, just like they call themselves Republicans and Democrats, but they have no clue of what, you know, they're standing for. So,
according to you,
I want to talk about,
but that 92% that, you know, from your personal anecdotes,
well,
they say the same thing about you.
Yeah, well, I can refute pretty much any arguments.
Well, what about this? So you said that humans that call themselves government are just other humans. They don't have authority to rule over other humans, and we can all agree with that. But what do you think about Paul writing in Romans that the authorities that exist today, God established them, and everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities because God established them? And maybe that doesn't apply to the United States. Maybe it only applies to ancient Rome. But even then, what would you say to that?
Well, I would say that people don't understand that Paul wrote that letter from Corinth. He had never been to the church in Rome. he'd only heard about it. It was growing fast, and he wanted to let them know the precepts of Christianity before he got there. And the problem is he knew that the letter would be intercepted. So he kind of wrote things in code. And if you go through, I kind of cover this a little bit on another show, but if you go through the very first sentence, will give you a clue to everything else in Romans 13.
So you have to interpret it correctly. And then it's not really...
So he didn't mean what he literally wrote.
Read the words literally.
She just read the words literally.
No, those aren't... Okay, read them to me again.
You were reading from the actual quote.
The first sentence here is, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The second is, the authorities that exist have been established by God.
That is all true, and I'll tell you the trick here. The word everyone. In other words, it doesn't say submit yourself to a few people who call themselves better than you. Everyone must submit to these authorities. And who are the governing authorities? Written down by Isaiah, says Jesus will have the government on his shoulders.
Jesus will what? The government? I'm sorry, you broke up for a moment there.
Well, it didn't literally say Jesus, since Isaiah was dead before Jesus was born.
It didn't say Jesus, but it said something like the child will have the government upon his shoulders.
Well, yeah, Jesus was supposed to be the king, right? That was the whole point of Jesus' birth, and that's sort of how he didn't fulfill the prophecy, according to the Jews, is that he wasn't a king of nothing. He died.
Which is why the Jews would disagree with you that it even is talking about Jesus.
I'm giving you a key here, and that is every translation will say the word every or everyone or all this stuff. Now, what I tell people in demonstrating this is to draw a circle, and inside, write everyone. And now tell me where the governing authorities are, or the higher powers, as it says in the King James.
I find that to be useless. I mean, once again, everyone must submit themselves to the governing authorities.
Basic logic.
We can do all sorts of mental gymnastics to say, well, that's what he said, but what he really meant is the exact opposite, but it's useless to me. The actual words that we just read is what he actually wrote.
Well, to be fair, hold on. Let's remember, this is a translation of whatever the original words were, and then, of course, the original words were written by
He's
men.
He's using the word everyone, so there's, we have to use the word everyone if we're talking about his argument.
Hold on, but that's just one translation here. So, like, I just happened to find this website here, BibleHub.com. It actually compares a bunch of different versions of the same text. King James says, let every soul, instead of everyone. New American Standard Bible says, every person. There's different interpretations of this.
Every is the key.
You said everyone was the key.
If everyone must... then obviously they're not talking about humans. But Paul also wrote in Corinthians that we are not to become slaves of other human beings. In Galatians 5:1, which is my motto.
The Bible repeatedly condones slavery.
And Paul does.
No, but it does not.
Paul says submit to your masters.
Those are what's referred to as bond slaves, those who have willingly contracted because they owed this person money.
Indentured servitude.
That apologetic nonsense has been routinely shredded across the entire all of human history for 2,000 years.
I can't accept what you're saying about everyone. If you're trying to say that it means everyone is ultimately needs to submit to the authority of God, well, even then, setting up a hierarchy where some humans are more equal than other humans, and then, well, God's at the top doesn't make it okay.
No, he never says that any other human. As a matter of fact, Jesus came to be the servant of all. He said, the greatest among you will be the servant. Now, let me talk for a minute about...
I just want to interject another one here. Here's another translation. The contemporary English version just straight up says, quote, obey the rulers who have authority over you. Only God can give authority to anyone, and he puts these rulers in their places of power. I mean, that one just straight up tells you must obey.
That's a paraphrase, not a translation. But
Well, whatever you want to say, man. They're all paraphrased in translations. But, yeah, you know, this goes back to the main point of this. What the hell do I care what the Bible says? I don't think it's the Word of God anyway. I don't care what Paul wrote about government.
Well, why are you using that
to try to convince me you're right?
Okay. You said that Paul said about not eating things or all things now. That was a dream of Peter. You didn't understand that in 1 Samuel, that's where God said, hey, if you choose a king, I will turn my back on you.
We pointed out those things that you don't know. Bonnie literally said those things, Jed.
Which things?
She literally said that God said you don't want a king. She literally said that.
Maybe you weren't listening. It was in the last segment.
The last hour. The previous discussion.
Yeah. Yeah, I was running around the park. I just came in and said, what are they talking about?
Well, maybe don't accuse us of missing out on things when you're not listening to what we're actually saying.
Okay, well, if God says on several occasions that you're not supposed to be ruled by humans, you're not supposed to have a king, how does that then...
I can explain this as someone who doesn't even, I've never read the Bible altogether, right? Like, I've seen some verses here and there. I went to church growing up, and I hated it. Definitely didn't pay much attention to it. But I can tell you how it makes sense. There are a bunch of different stories written by different people over a long period of time. Of course, there's not any consistency between how God acts and what God says.
Yep. Here's another one.
Well, no, but it is consistent.
It's just an example of how it's not.
You're
consistent.
Literally just picking the side that you want to believe is right.
No,
here's another one that isn't
true.
Even
what I said.
Isn't even Paul. Yes, it's Jesus talking. Jesus answered. This is John 19:11. Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin." So. Jesus is agreeing that if God gave a human authority over another human, then they would rightly have it. And me and you both know that no human ever rightly has authority over another human.
Didn't you just say that they would not have authority over him unless God had given it to them, which he would not do?
Jesus said to Caesar, or Pilate is who he was talking to. It didn't actually specify, but I assume it was Pilate, that you would not have authority over me if God had not given it to you. That's pretty clear.
And God would not give it. God did.
But you don't know that.
Because he has authority over him.
No.
It depends on who you ask, Jet. I mean, look.
He gave people authority in that Samuel story that you're talking about. He said that he doesn't think it's well advised, but he gave the Israelites their government. So obviously he would do that. And Jesus said that if he did, that it would be right. It never becomes right for a human to have authority over another human.
He's not saying that. I think that's the thing. Jet would agree with us on a lot of the things that, as far as like none of us on this show believe in the idea of authority. It's all a false concept.
I know that he doesn't believe
that.
He's directly opposing Jesus while saying
Jesus said in that same area, he said, I willingly give my life. No one takes it from me. So you gotta put all this stuff together. That's what I'm saying. The cross referencing all this stuff.
I don't think that's relevant to what I just read you that Jesus said.
And
so what do you have to say?
Putting it all together, you're just taking the parts that you like and focusing on those. You're taking the parts that you don't like or that outright disagree with you, and you're saying what he really meant was the exact opposite.
Right, and reinterpreting the clear words. Now again, maybe they've been mistranslated, and you can argue about that forever, which I don't want to do. Okay.
What about 1 Peter 2:13? Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely clear. I'm not surprised that you've fallen into this yet.
Yeah.
But what that is, it's the same submission as a husband to a wife or a wife to a husband. It's the idea that in that case, they're talking about creating a peaceful atmosphere.
Yes, it is peaceful when you obey the king. You are right.
No.
No one's complaining.
Like I said, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Therefore, no more be bound by a yoke of slavery.
Yep, it's just freedom to submit to the king. That's freedom.
I don't even feel like he addressed what you said at all.
Be- because he never does.
Yeah. Jet, thank you for the call tonight. I do appreciate it. It's obviously, you know, clear that no one's ever going to convince one another on this particular discussion. You're always welcome to call in and try. But
there was his opportunity to prove that we were just wrong and uneducated, and he didn't.
No, I mean, you guys are all very well educated on the topic of the Bible. It's just he has a different opinion. Right? Like, his opinion is that the words that say they say things don't say what they say they say.
You have to look for the secret meanings.
Yeah. And great. I mean, I hope
it's a terrible way for the creator of the universe to communicate with people, though. This guy is all powerful, all knowing, and all wise, and the best he can do to communicate with us is through Paul, and you have to reinterpret everything Paul says, so that means the opposite of what he actually says.
Yeah, it's very confusing. But I hope Jet is able to convince some Christians to go along with him.
I hope he isn't, because I don't want more people that blindly believe in authority.
Well, that's the thing.
Well,
Jet is trying to break down the idea.
They don't.
Jet is trying to break down the idea of authority, I think, and he's trying to justify it by interpreting these Bible verses contrary to what they say.
It's not bending the knee to the king. It's just peacefully submitting. If my husband tells me to do something that's wrong, I'm going to tell him no. I'm not going to say, "Well, I got to submit to my husband because the Bible says so."
No, you got to submit because I say so.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so Chet,
He's gone.
But I'm assuming he's still listening. Yeah. I've been wanting to resume like the Satanic Bible studies or something along those lines. Now I'm about to go to prison, so obviously I'm not going to do that. But when I get out of prison, I am very much inclined to do that. And you're welcome when I do this, which is, you know, to be fair, it's going to be at least a year from now. You're welcome to call in and have a full show hashing out these things with me. But you can't just keep throwing Bible verses at me because, frankly, I don't care what's in the Bible. To me, it's completely irrelevant to the conversation. I mean, I realize that's the evidence that you have, and, you know, I'll allow you to quote some Bible verses and all of that, but the issue here is that you quote this Bible verse that says something you like, and we immediately point out a Bible verse that says exactly the opposite.
Right.
And at that point, that no one's making any progress. We're just quoting contradictions at each other.
Yep, that's absolutely true, which is why it's really tough to listen to people argue over this stuff, because it's like, this is just somebody's opinion they wrote down thousands of, you know, hundreds or whatever years ago, whenever this book was written, and maybe it was inspired by God, but the final version of it came out as the opinions of men, and a lot of men have the opinion that you should submit to them, that you should obey them. That you should do what they say, whether they call themselves priests or whether they call themselves presidents or whether they call themselves quote-unquote representatives or the police. They all believe the same thing, which is they should get to rule, whether it's God that put them there or, quote, democracy, which is also God to a different set of people. Typically, the atheists have a belief system about the government that is very, very similar to the belief system that a lot of Christians have to their religion. So we need to get away from a lot of these religions that put one man over other men or justify those reasons. And I think that, you know, Jet doesn't believe in the idea of authority, and I do appreciate his viewpoint on that. I don't think that he's going to be persuading us to interpret the Bible in the way that he wants us to, because none of us spend any time concerning ourselves with it.
I think that it's self-evident that each human owns their own body, and everything else follows that. It has nothing to do with something written down. It's self-evident. You can figure it out yourself and go from there.
Let's go to Saheed. He's on the line in Maryland. He's a regular caller here who is a Muslim. Saheed, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I was listening to Jed, and he had some really good points. I actually follow the same practice except with the Quran and with the Bible for the most part. And he did actually address your point with submitting to the authorities and whatnot. He said peacefully submitting to a wife, to a husband. And so Islam literally means peacefully submitting, Islam, peace, salam, you know, shalom.
Those are very different things, though. Submitting to God is very different from submitting to rulers. And the text that we were talking about was very clearly about submitting to rulers. And as I pointed out to Jet, you are right. When you obey the king, you will get peace as a result of that. Right? That's tautology, though.
It's a little bit different. That's why he was saying, that's why he said those, that's why he distinguished them. You were saying that submission in the peacefully submission kind of way is more like resigning.
It doesn't even say peacefully submission in that
do what
no,
they do.
That I read to him.
It doesn't say anything about husbands
yeah,
and wife. It's clearly talking about government.
It's talking about the ruler, the king, and it doesn't say peaceful submission. And peaceful submission doesn't make it any better. Just because somebody told me to do something and I don't violently react and I just obey them or submit to their will doesn't make it right that they are claiming authority over me when they have none.
Yeah, like I said, obey versus submission is a complete two different things. And
okay, so like I'm just going to submit to the will of
into the, whole
the FBI.
I don't know if
it's not
that
any different than obeying the FBI.
Yes, for example, I try to kind of like live by that. Obviously, since the word Islam is there, and I try to go ahead and dig deep into what the meaning of submission is, because there are a lot of different stories and a lot of different circumstances that are around, and so. You know, trying to kind of, and there's a lot of different examples.
When it comes to government, look, I don't know what you know the definition of submit is in your mind, Saheed, but when it comes to governments, you submit to them because you know what they'll do to you. Otherwise, you know what they're going to do, and so they're going to do violence to you. And the reason you submit to them is because they are dominating you. That is what you do. And when you're losing a wrestling match or some sort of a fight or whatever, and you submit, you've acknowledged that you cannot fight this oppressor, and you're going to go along.
I think what Saheed is saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're suggesting that the submission has to be voluntary in order for it to be whatever it is that you and Jed are arguing, right? It has to be voluntary?
That's what we have to do is kind of like define what these terms are. And we have these same arguments inside of our own communities between Christians or between Muslims and whatnot. And two people might know exactly what the heck they're talking, like a lot of history and whatnot, but they might come to different conclusions. So all of this is opinion, by the way, guys.
That much is clear.
Yeah, 100%. And
I don't think you answered the question, though.
No, you didn't answer yours either.
And I actually just forgot it again. Well, I was just making that point. So the key.
You were suggesting that submission is different from obedience, and I was asking: is the obedience to you that submission is voluntary, whereas obedience is, you know, under coercion or under threat, under some sort of duress?
Gotcha. Yeah. My opinion when it comes to that type of submission, it's more of like acknowledging that person has this idea, they're going for it no matter what, basically, and that we can go about it how we are, but we're not trying to change what they're going to do. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like resigning that this is the thing that they're going to try to get about it.
Yes.
Okay, so it is under duress.
You're resigning yourself to the fact they're going to kill you or they're going to harm you, so you submit to their rule.
And that's why I argue that Christianity leads directly to statism. He just spelled it out for us.
Yeah, just you'll have more peace in your life if you just do what they say. That's what God wants for you.
Thank you, Saheed.
Forget what's right.
I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever you want to discuss. And take control of the airwaves here. If you want to weigh in on this or bring up anything else, you're certainly free to do so. 603-283-6160. More coming up.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Three people are dead and several others wounded following an active shooter situation in Farmington, New Mexico, just northwest of Albuquerque. According to police, the gunman is dead and two officers were shot. They're both listed in stable condition. Police also say there were multiple civilian casualties. Defaulting on the nation's debt is just not an option. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is calling on Republicans to take the threat of default off the table.
Never in the history of our country have we failed to pay our bills on time. To default now would mean crossing a terrible point of no return.
Speaking on the Senate floor, Schumer said that default would crash the economy and cost more than 8 million jobs. 950 more troops are being sent to the U.S.-Mexico border to help stop a surge of illegal immigration. Most of the troops will be heading to El Paso by the end of the month. Since Title 42 expired last week, the Border Patrol has been making about 5,000 arrests a day. John Schaefer, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. With anything you want to discuss, Ian, Bonnie, and Aria in the studio tonight. 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever you want. We're going to go back to the phones, back to your calls and thoughts, but I do want to let you know that coming up in October of this year, our very own Mark Edge is going to be back in Prague at the conference he attended last year as well. He spoke last year, and he called the gathering of people the most likely to create more human freedom. Is he right about that? I have no idea. But if you want to go and find out, you can visit libertyinourlifetime.org to learn about this conference taking place in Prague, October 14th and 15th. And that's where the Free Cities people are going to be getting together. These are self-governing territories, supposedly, that uphold individual rights and freedoms. Or at least that's the plan. I don't know if any of these things are really off the ground quite yet, but you're going to get to ask them questions and find out, because representatives from projects in the U.S., Honduras, Germany, and Norway will all be at the conference to share updates on their progress and explain why you should consider moving to or doing business in a free city. So you can go and get registered for 10% off by using code FTL over at libertyinourlifetime.org. Ladies, was there something else you wanted to add to this whole submit to authority discussion that we've been having before I move on to
the next caller? I want to say that no matter what the Bible says, even if the Bible 100% clearly says there's some authority that's okay because God gave them authority, doesn't matter. Authority of one man over another man, and involuntarily, is never okay, is never right. You own your own body, your own mind, and your own property, the fruits of your body's labor.
I have nothing to add.
Very good. Let's continue here. We got Larry. He's on the line in Georgia. You're on Free Talk Live.
What's up, Ian? You told me to call back after the convention.
Oh, yeah. You were the guy that would that was going to go to the Libertarian Party convention in Georgia, and I felt sorry for you, man, because going
to these... happened?
I guess, yeah. Libertarian conventions is a brutal affair and really a slog in a lot of cases. How'd it go?
I didn't go to the business meeting, so I can't tell you.
You probably had a decent time then.
Yeah. Yeah, you skipped the terrible parts.
Is that the terrible part?
Oh, God, they're awful.
Dude, it's bad.
Yeah, so what parts did you go to?
Is that the Robert's Rules?
Yeah, that's where they all argue over a bunch of bylaw crap, and it's just absolutely atrocious.
I went Friday and Saturday and had a great time. Free Talk Live contributor was there of Reed Coverdale.
Reed Coverdale, that's right. Yeah, I saw him taking pictures down there. Good guy.
Yeah, and I didn't get to I got a chance to talk to him, but I didn't get to listen to his speech. Let me get this word right. Jake Green was there that did the documentary Divide and Dominate, which I seen like a month earlier.
Not familiar with that one.
It was based on Shane Hazel's campaign.
Oh, okay. Shane is the gubernatorial candidate in Georgia, or was in the last election cycle.
Yes, you're correct. And the host of the Radical Podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Unfortunately, did he even break 1% in Georgia?
I don't recall, to be honest.
Yeah, I
just know he did.
Which is a real shame because he got into a debate, didn't he? Didn't they actually let him?
That was really great.
Yeah, didn't they let him on a televised debate in Georgia?
They did.
It was crazy good. He seems to be a pretty good, solid libertarian.
But he said there was a crazy money machine behind the other two candidates.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right, so what were some other highlights that you wanted to share with us?
There's many speech, goat dairy, dairy goats.
Dairy goats? Is that a person?
Yeah. It was a DIY festival is the way they set it up.
What does that mean?
So, do it yourself. So there's people talking from many different categories of life about how they did stuff themselves. John Mods had a great speech. He's talking about doing the Free County Project down here.
Oh, no.
I really wish people would quit wasting time and energy going, oh, those libertarians are doing something cool. I love that. But I'm going to go do my own thing over here. I realize that's what libertarians do, but we could be so much stronger if instead of going, oh, well, let's also do the Free Florida Project and the Free Texas Project, let's just focus on the one thing and succeed at that.
What's this idea of the Free County Project, though? I mean, this stuff's been tried again and again and again, and it's not gone anywhere. So did you watch his speech?
I did watch his speech. It was a great speech, but he was very vague about it. So he's talking about two counties. He hasn't made a decision on them yet, or they haven't made a decision on them yet.
I mean, here in New Hampshire, there's only, 12 counties, 9 counties?
Yeah, but that even is not a good plan here because the state government is sort of the powerful structure.
Right.
The counties
aren't
powerful.
Well, that's effectively what I was getting at, is that instead of trying to liberate two counties or whatever, you can liberate the entire state of New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And there's been measurable success by the Free State Project.
I presume the idea is to target low population counties in Georgia?
Yeah, somewhat, yeah.
Okay. So are they just getting the ball rolling here? Because I don't even see, is there even a website for them?
No, I don't know. I don't think it's a website. I think it's just an idea in the mist right now.
Yeah. I would suggest, I don't know if the page even still exists, but our own Mark Edge used to coordinate or moderate or whatever a page on Facebook that was called the Move Here Project. And every time Mark came across one of these, oh, yeah, me too, move here, whatever the idea was, the Blue Ridge Liberty Project in Asheville, North Carolina, or the Ron Paulville in Texas, or, you fill in the blank. There's been probably 100 of these things in the last 2 decades. Whenever one of these things would pop up.
I thought the Blue Ridge was in Virginia.
Blue Ridge Liberty, I think that was Asheville.
Well, it's a mountain range. Maybe it goes through both.
Yeah, maybe. But anyway, that one actually happened. They actually did have people move for that one, and then it fell apart due to personality conflicts, and that was
the end
of that.
Happen.
But then, of course, there was also... But most of these things, they just kind of... They come up, and then they go away, and they never even go past the idea phase. There's some of them where a few people will move, and then they never, you know, actually accomplish anything. And a lot of people move away in many of these cases. None of them even come close to challenging the effectiveness, of course, of the New Hampshire Freedom Migration or the Free State Project. And it's just, to me, it's just a big distraction. And I'm not saying that your friend there who is organizing this is a federal agent who's trying to distract libertarians by getting them to do something that is a completely pointless waste of time, money, and effort. I don't think that a lot of these people are that, but it sure does,
I don't think they thought it through.
Yeah, it sure does. You know, either they haven't thought it through or they are personally trying to waste people's time. That's sort of, I'm of one or the other beliefs about this. Or they're just incredibly lazy and they just want
to, people to come to them.
Yeah, they want everybody to move to where they live and you know, not have to actually pick up their lives and move somewhere themselves. So I'm a pretty big critic of all these Me Too Free State Project wannabes.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm willing to keep an open mind on it right now. There was two candidates for the Libertarian nomination for president down here campaigning.
Oh, I didn't even know there were any yet.
Yeah, Chase Oliver and Mike Matt.
Speaking of projects that are wastes of time, Libertarian
right?
presidential candidate. I mean, that's cool, but like, man, that is the big single biggest waste of energy and resources in politics. It's the Libertarian presidential candidacy.
I mean, it would be nice if they actually fielded a decent candidate for once who actually was arguing for the ideas of liberty, and maybe they could recruit some
yeah,
new...
then they got the word out.
Yeah, it's, look, I was brought into libertarianism by the Libertarian presidential candidate in 1996 and 2000, Harry Brown, who was a really well-spoken, articulate advocate for the ideas of liberty. He wrote two excellent books. One was called Why Government Doesn't Work, and the other was The Great Libertarian Offer. And they're really eye-opening books, really easy to read, not like some highfalutin college text or whatever. It's like really easy to read kind of books. And they definitely brought me in. So, I mean, there is, I think, some value to that, but the libertarians have squandered that in the last
Joe Jorgensen,
18
Gary
years.
Johnson.
Yeah, Gary Johnson was a pathetic jerk of a candidate. Joe Jorgensen was not that much better.
So
Bob Barr. Completely forgettable and a true embarrassment. So, you know, they can only kind of go up from where they've been. But it is really hard to get excited about spending any time or money supporting a national campaign.
Yeah, and now they only care about being edgy on Twitter, so they're going to get someone like Dave Smith or someone like that.
And Dave Smith was just arguing for immigration restrictions the other day.
Wow.
On Twitter.
Not surprised.
So, I mean, I hope he doesn't get it.
Maybe but some of that conservative. I mean, the conservatarian slippery slope, man, is there. Once you start there over drag queens and protecting the kids or whatever, it's a very few short steps to, well, we need some immigration controls.
How's the party doing down there, Larry? How many attendees were at the Georgia Libertarian Convention?
I don't know the head count, but I don't know the official head count. I have no clue.
Were you in a room with them all? Did they have like a banquet dinner? Where
no, it was pretty spread out.
Where was the venue?
Campus, yeah.
What was the venue? Where was this?
Cherokee Pines.
What is that?
Like a hotel?
No, it's not a hotel. It was a ballroom of some sort.
But there were different rooms in which people were having discussions and speeches and
yes.
things?
Yes, definitely two rooms. There was the ballroom and there was a side room.
And you couldn't take a stab at how many people were in the facility?
I have no clue.
Okay.
I mean...
Would that be because you skipped, like, the business meetings?
That's part of it, too. You know, just because I was walking around, I wasn't really counting heads.
Okay. All right.
I was just mainly hanging out.
I remember when I went in Florida, and this was 20 years ago now, but I remember when I went in Florida to one of the conventions there, it was like maybe 70 people at the time. Now, again, that's 20 years ago, so I don't know what, maybe they've grown since then. Maybe they've shrunk since then. Honestly, I have no idea. Larry, was there anything else you wanted to highlight for us?
No, that's it, man.
Hey, good luck down there. I hope you guys, if you really want to make an impact, get on up to New Hampshire at some point. But I appreciate the call, man.
No, I think I'm sick with Georgia, man.
Why is that?
I see something here.
What's there?
I see something here.
What is that?
Why?
It was a cool network of people. I'll tell you that.
What's the population in Georgia?
I don't know. I mean, probably 10 million.
Atlanta
says 4 or 6 million itself, and the rest is spread out through
Atlanta. Okay.
The rest of Georgia.
What's that, Bonnie?
I don't remember his title, but the main guy in my organization I'm a part of, Liberty Policy Alliance, he currently lives in Georgia, and he can't wait to get to New Hampshire.
You're talking about Sean, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that cool network of people that you mentioned there in Georgia, like, that they would still exist. You still have that cool network of people that came to New Hampshire.
Yeah, but, you know, I want to see how Georgia works.
How long have you been doing this?
Well, this is my first year.
Okay.
I'm still optimistic.
Okay, that explains it. You got to fail. You got to bash your head up against the...
Were you there during COVID? Because that's what absolutely made me realize Texas is so crazy unfree, was COVID happening. Were you in Georgia during COVID?
Who, me? Yeah, I've been in Georgia most of my life.
And that didn't convince you there's just no way that you're going to actually have, like, a liberty-oriented society in Georgia?
Hey, anything's possible, man. We're going from red to purple, man.
I appreciate your optimism. I really do. You sound like a fresh-faced, you know, guy that's never had any experience in politics, and you're going to learn fast.
That's not necessarily true. I've done other things that sharpened some skills, and I'm not willing to say what that is.
Have you lived outside of Georgia?
Yes, 1 year, Tallahassee, Florida.
That's basically South Georgia, right?
I mean, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
you said you live most of your life in Georgia. You don't want to leave. You want the Free Georgia Project, or you want to see how Georgia goes or whatever. I mean, yeah, that's fine. You know, some people never leave where they're from, but I would encourage other people to get out and explore places. And I've done that. I've moved all over the U.S. And what concluded is that New Hampshire is the freest place in the United States, and it's the only one where I've seen people actually making strides toward freedom.
Yeah, the last 2 years, I've taken 3 trips to Medellin, Colombia.
Okay.
I see freedom existing there, so.
Okay. What would you say would be an indicator for you of success? So you're saying you think that there's some opportunity, that there's some sort of bright future for liberty there in Georgia. What would it be? Would there be some sort of accomplishment that could be made, some kind of a metric that could be measured that would give you an indicator that you guys are getting somewhere?
Organizing more affiliates.
More Libertarian Party affiliates. Okay, so that would suggest that the party would be growing, that there would be more members coming into the Libertarian Party.
I started a county affiliate in Mississippi.
How'd that go?
It took forever to get in touch with anyone at the state level, and then we finally did, and it was pointless. And I would speculate there were probably about 70 people at the Mississippi Libertarian Convention as well, because not every county even had a single person. Mississippi's got like 82 counties or something. They're very small, yeah. But it was very small, very unattended. Everyone knew each other. It was very... I don't want to say good old boys because it wasn't that, because they were all libertarians, but it was very much similar to that, where if you didn't know everyone already, you felt like an outsider, because it was very clear that after the meeting, they were all going to Denny's or whatever restaurant that was popular with them. But it was impossible. You know, we started this county affiliate, me and 2 other people, and we never got a single additional person to ever come. We got the list of all the libertarians that the state party had, and we emailed, we wrote letters, never got a single person of interest there.
Just
ever.
You and 2 other people?
Yeah.
Dang.
Now, I was doing libertarian outreach down in Florida. I'm a Florida native, Larry. Just I don't know if you knew that, but so I'm kind of from your neighborhood.
Yeah, I think I've heard it before.
Yeah, yeah. And I was down there. I was doing libertarian outreach. We did outreach booths at county fairs and gun shows and the lesbian gay pride fests. And so we did plenty of outreach. Spent a lot of time doing that kind of stuff. Never really saw any significant growth. And I will tell you this, recently I looked at Florida's election returns for the Libertarians. It was, last November when we were looking at election stuff, and I found myself wondering, how's Florida doing? You know, it's been 20 years, or not quite, since I've been down there, but I left in 2006, so, 17 years, roughly, since I went down there. Like, maybe Libertarians have done something down there since I've been there, and maybe they've grown things or whatever, and, No, the Libertarians are still barely getting on the ballot. They're still getting barely anything. I think the Libertarian candidate in Florida did even worse than your candidate in Georgia did, which is less than 1%. I think the Libertarian guy in Florida got like 0.2, if I recall correctly, and Shane Hazel in Georgia got 0.7. And so they haven't really seen any kind of growth whatsoever. And I guess, is that something that you would consider looking at, is election returns and election results rather than just getting more affiliates around the state?
I don't think that's necessarily fair because, like, New Hampshire has a migration of libertarians up that way. Florida also has a migration of Republicans or conservatives.
That's part of why New Hampshire is doing better. It's not that it's not fair. It's just part of the reason that New Hampshire is doing better.
Well, I think Jeremy Kaufman said it best in his debate last year at the Porcupine Freedom Festival of the Free State Project versus the Libertarian Party, when he posed the question, you know, has, if you look at the results of the Libertarian Party from 40 years ago, would you see any difference whatsoever between the results from 1985 or 1986, I suppose, and 2020? And the answer is no. In those 30 to 40 years, they've moved the needle not the tiniest bit.
Yeah, and also this is becoming a battleground state, so I wouldn't definitely get discouraged. I know that the two big parties have their hands in the state, so I'm not willing to get discouraged on that.
So does New Hampshire. Really, really bad. In fact, the Democrats have their primary, their first primary in the nation here, so it's really important to them.
Yeah.
Big dollars, or big, a lot of money comes in to get Democrats and Republicans elected in New Hampshire.
And the Libertarian Party here is also pretty ineffective as well, but that's why they run as Republicans and or Democrats, and they actually win elections here, because we have enough Libertarians to infiltrate the two major parties instead of having the two major parties infiltrating the Libertarians, which is, you know, in some cases what's happening elsewhere. Larry, I got to say, I appreciate your optimism. I think that, you know, in a few more years, hopefully you'll be able to look and see if there's actually been the growth that you've been expecting. I think if you went back 20 years in the Georgia libertarian scene, you would find people saying the exact same thing. You would find people saying, oh, we're right on the cusp of these ideas taking off, and we're going to do better and better as we get more, you know, state affiliates. And you would hear the exact same kind of points being made. And 20 years later, you guys didn't even, you know, crack 1% with what was arguably one of the best libertarian candidates in the national scene. Shane Hazel is a well-spoken, seems to be principled guy. I don't know him well, but I've heard his show here and there, and I saw his performance in that debate, and he did a great job in that debate that they actually, I was shocked that they let him in, and I thought, all right, this is the Georgia libertarian moment. They actually put their gubernatorial candidate in an actual televised debate. Maybe he will actually make an impact. Maybe he has a chance at breaking into double digits, you know, maybe getting 10% of the vote. Nope, didn't even make it to 1%. So I think you should,
tragic.
I think you should, you know, set some goals for what you think should be possible. Try to be realistic about it. And then see if you're there in 5 or 10 years, and make another choice.
I'm willing to take your challenge. I'll call you in 5 years and see if I'm as optimistic and tell you milestones.
All right, brother. Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it, Larry.
Okay.
Good luck down there. So unfortunately, there's a lot of people in the Libertarian Party that have this belief system that libertarianism is just going to catch fire if we just get enough people.
I mean, I thought so once upon a time.
I did. Right? I did too.
Yeah, I was young, really idealistic. I formed a county affiliate to join the Mississippi Libertarian Party. I was like, I'm going to fight here because this is worth fighting for. And then after like 2 years, I was like, no,
It's
not working. No progress is being made. We just made Gary Johnson the president. This is a complete waste of time. Screw you guys. I'm going to New Hampshire.
Yeah, I didn't make a county affiliate but by myself or whatever, but I was involved down in Sarasota, Florida, where I'm from. And I remember my first exposure to the bylaws was stuff was there at the county affiliate. And, oh, my God, I don't even remember how many weeks of meetings we spent going over these bylaws. And it was just such a stupid, pointless waste of time and waste of effort, and so much of party politics is just bogged down in the internal goings-on of arguing over stupid crap between the party, and it's just like such a waste of time. And I don't begrudge somebody who enjoys that. There are certain people who that's like their thing, and they really love to do it.
I guess.
Like Peggy Hill.
Yeah.
On King of the Hill.
But they're bogging down the activism and the productivity of everyone else while they do it.
Yeah. But the problem was the activism didn't actually perform any miracles either, right? Like, there's... And I think, Bonnie, you touched on it. The COVID situation really, for me, was an eye-opener. Because I was like you, Aria, I thought, oh, yeah, there's plenty of libertarians in the United States. They just don't know they're libertarians. We just got to get the word out to them. I mean, that's one of the reasons why the show exists, right? So we can talk about the ideas of liberty and be heard by people that have different viewpoints and maybe persuade them to our views. But when I saw what happened during COVID, it was obvious that libertarianism has absolutely no chance of catching on in the United States.
So I already became a libertarian, like agreed with all the ideas in 2016, but I thought, well, Texas is the freest place and I don't really want to be an activist, so I'm just going to move to Texas and live my life and be basically the most free I could possibly be. That's just what I thought. And then that was in 2018. Then in 2020, everything was going so badly, like everybody was just wearing a mask. I couldn't go into Walmart without passing a cop telling me to wear a mask. In Texas, in San Antonio, and right outside of San Antonio and Cibolo and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, the first thing I did was went to Facebook and looked up to see if there's any libertarians meeting in San Antonio. And the libertarians that meet in San Antonio were not meeting in public at the time. They were meeting on Zoom.
Ouch. Wow.
And I found a bunch of libertarians from Texas arguing about the masks. Like, there was one saying, like, if you go out without a mask, you are, you're doing a NAP violation, a non-aggression principle violation.
Well, let's
be
clear. Those people existed here in New Hampshire, too. There were some libertarians who lost their minds.
Then the next thing I did was I started looking for podcasts. I was like, what are the libertarians all over saying about this? And then one thing led to another. I found Free Talk Live, and I thought New Hampshire sounded like a much better idea, so I went here.
And then when you came here, it was a bit of a relief, wasn't it?
It was just the state was so much better than the state of Texas before Abbott kindly let us take our masks off.
There's more coming up here. Hour number three is on the way.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.